Morning.
This little parable is one of those little jewels that almost got away. It's reported only in Luke. Had he not stopped to rescue it from the oral tradition, put it in his gospel, would not have made it anywhere else. Nice story. Easy to imagine. You want to do one of those Ignatian prayer styles where you imagine the whole scene and put yourself in there. Not a hard one to do. Only two characters. This judge, who neither fears God nor any human being. You wonder why he doesn't come down with a decision. Maybe he hasn't gotten his little white envelope yet. Maybe the widow is too poor to give him a little white envelope. Maybe he doesn't want the reputation to get around that sometimes he will give a judgment without a little white envelope because that might be bad for business. But he won't do it. But she keeps coming at him. Coming at him. Coming at him. I was told by one of our distinguished homilists just before Mass. Their imagination of that is if she ever did hit him, it would be with her umbrella. You can imagine that sort of scene. Reminds me of one where I was accosted that way. When we were first putting the new canons in, Cardinal Sheen was very thorough with it. There was to be instruction. And then every church at every Mass in the whole archdiocese was to use canon number 2 this week, and then number 3, and then number 4. We explained all of that. And then I'm accosted afterwards in the back of church with umbrella in hand. How dare you change the canon? That's been there forever. Well, no, not forever, but it has been there for 1,000 years. See? What gives you the right to change 1,000-year-old? Well, actually, I don't have the right to change anything. I'm just doing what the cardinal told me. But she went on and on and on waving that umbrella. She thought sure she was going to hit me with it. The word that's used in the Greek, though, is a little stronger. It's translated here, let you finally come and strike me. The Greek word means give me a black eye. Now, that's also used metaphorically in terms of besmirch my reputation and whatnot. But it certainly does give you the image of the little old lady punching him in the face. It's a good story. It's a memorable story. And it has some important things to teach us. But it's also a dangerous story. If you get it wrong, it can take you very wrong. And it's very easy to get it wrong. As Don was saying in the introduction, it sort of leads us that way, doesn't it? You're inclined to think that if this woman gets her rights just by beating on the judge, we will get what we need simply by beating on God. And if you pray long enough and hard enough and well enough for whatever it is that you want, you will get it. Well, obviously that's wrong. If every strong, heartfelt, from the depth of the soul prayer were answered, every team in the NFL would go 16-0. It'd be hard to arrange. We pray for things like that. We even pray against people. I mean, come on, be honest. Haven't you ever prayed for the Yankees to lose? That's not dangerous. It's wrong, but it's not dangerous. But this can get dangerous. We teach our children that. You pray long enough and hard enough and well enough for something, and God will give it to you. And then you tell them, Grandmama's sick. And then you tell them, Grandmama's very sick. Pray hard for Grandmom. And then Grandmom dies. And the kid is convinced that he or she has killed Grandmom. Because if they had prayed long enough and hard enough and well enough, God would have granted that prayer and Grandmom would still be alive. So it's my fault. There's something wrong with me. I wasn't good enough to have my prayer answered, or I didn't pray hard enough, or whatever. Somehow I killed Grandmom. People believe that. Kids get warped for life. that way. That's dangerous. Not only wrong, but dangerous. Every grandmom will die. Every mom, every dad, every boy, every girl will die sooner or later. I don't care how many people pray, how hard for them. We're all going to die. This is not a vending machine. Drop enough of the prayer coins in the slot, or get enough people to drop prayer coins in the slot, and whatever it is that you want comes out the bottom. It doesn't happen that way. And our own experience, of course, tells us that. So we need to not only grow up a little in our own thinking about that, but be a little more sophisticated in the way we explain it to our children. Lest we wind up creating some real damage with this idea. Well, what then does it mean? You know, if the Yankees won't lose just because I pray real hard for it to happen, what's prayer for? If Grandma will die anyway, no matter how hard I pray for her, what's prayer for? And what does it mean? What does this story mean? I mean, I think it's clear that the story is an if-even story. Right? If-even is my preferred label for fancier labels elsewhere in the field. In rhetoric, they call it argument a fortiori. In rabbinics, they call it gahal vahomer. I call it if-even. The type of story that says, if even this, then surely that. If even this unjust judge will give a just judgment just because the widow keeps banging on him, then surely God, who is a lot wiser, a lot better, a lot less corrupt, etc., than this character, will do it. But what is it that God will do? And what is it that we're supposed to be praying without ceasing, without becoming weary for? Well, Luke does provide an answer for that. About 12 chapters ago, it's called the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that we pray constantly without growing weary. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Tethe makuthak. Abba, tethe makuthak. Dad, your kingdom come. May your rule extend on earth. We were promised that. We were promised that back at creation. We were promised that in the covenant at Sinai. Didn't look like it was happening. And then when God raised Jesus from the dead, everybody said, this is it. God is going to fulfill God's promises. He has been raised. All the dead will be raised. All the evil will be overthrown. The Romans will be cast into the sea. And justice will prevail on the earth. And they went out and preached. And a lot of people believed that. Years went by. Decades went by. We're in the 80s now. This is 50, going on 60 years. After the death and resurrection of Jesus. Not only the original disciples and their converts, but their converts have passed. We're now into the point where the children of the original converts are old, and the bulk of the community is the grandchildren. And it hasn't happened. People getting tired. Should we go on with this? Maybe we just make a deal with Caesar. You do your thing, we'll do ours. It's not all that bad. Why should we continue to hope? Why should we continue to work? Why should we continue to suffer for justice, for peace, for the coming of God's kingdom? If God's kingdom isn't going to come, and Jesus is saying, don't give up. If even this judge will eventually do what is right, then surely God. Now they say speedily and soon. But remember, that's God speedily and soon, right? It had already been 60 years, it didn't happen. It's been almost 1900 and some years more, still hasn't happened. But it's happening. Evolution is proceeding. God's kingdom is coming. We have ideals now that we didn't have 200 years ago, much less practice. 200 years ago, we didn't even think it was wrong for people to own people. Now we're slowly rooting out various kinds of discrimination. Sometimes the church is in the leadership. Sometimes the church is in the institutional church, at least, is one of those groups that needs to be fought against. But slowly, we're rooting out racism and sexism and all kinds of isms. We're creating a little bit more justice in the world. Doesn't always look like it. You go back to the Dickens era, you know, the Industrial Revolution, and the rich were getting richer and richer, very faster and faster, and the poor, poorer and poorer. We're doing better than that now. We have our ups and our downs, but we're doing it. So it's happening. But it's happening awfully slowly. Evolution hasn't speeded up a whole lot when it changed from the physical phase to the biological phase to the social phase. It's still in a slow process. But there is a God behind it all. There is a God who's not only pushing it forward, but pulling it forward. Kneeling down in front of it, holding out both arms and saying, "Come to Papa, come to Mama." Loving it into existence. We need to trust that God. We need to trust that process. It won't finish in your lifetime or mine, but it will happen. It's happening already. Step by step, little by little. One step forward, two steps back sometimes. We like to think mostly it's two steps forward and one step back, but sometimes it is one step forward and two steps back. But it's happening. And we keep faith with that. That's where that last line comes from. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is not a sudden question drawn in here about belief. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about all the dimensions of the word faith? Belief is the least important here. Will he find people on earth who believe that there is a God? Yeah, sure. So what? The others are more important. Will he find people on earth who put faith in God, who trust God, who are committed to God's promises that the kingdom will come? And when the Son of Man comes, will he find people who keep faith with God, who still stand up for what God stands for, who still work to do God's will, who still strive to make possible God's kingdom? Those are the real questions. There's no reason why we shouldn't pray for trivial things. It's okay when you see those pictures, you know, and the home team is down in the bottom of the ninth and they move the camera to the stands and hear somebody down there like that and you can almost hear them, "Please, God, please, just one more base hit, please, God, please." That's okay. But don't expect it to happen. And God certainly expects us to pray for the important things. If you couldn't tell God how much you want Grandmom to live, you don't have a good relationship with God. You can't talk about what's on your heart. But don't expect those things to be, "If I put enough coins in the slot, it will come out the bottom." That's dangerous. Go ahead and open up your heart to God with all your wants and all your needs. But know that the promise, the "if even this unjust judge will finally deliver," the "then surely" is, then God will surely deliver to the answer to the prayer, "Abba, Tethe Makuthak." Sisters and brothers, let us pray.